The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Well, now we're going to look at the life and legacy of Sven Goran Eriksson, who sadly passed away today. Sven Goran Eriksson, of course, had a wide career from managing Italian teams and other European teams during the height of his career. And of course, he was England manager of that national team for 5 years. Well, I'm joined now by John Berwin, who is football journalist. John, thank you very much for joining us on News Talk today.
My pleasure. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Now, John, I mentioned there Sven Goran Eriksson's career as a football manager in Europe. Of course, we here in Ireland came to know him really when he took over the England job, and that's where he came to prominence here. But you might just tell me a little bit about his career in Europe and how prolific he was actually as a manager, because he did have quite a few achievements.
Yeah. I mean, when England turned to Sven back in sort of the end of 2000, you were talking there about one of the most successful managers in Europe over the last 20 years. Now, that began with Gothenburg in Sweden, his native country. Now, they were a team of part-timers, and he took them to winning the old UEFA Cup back in 1982. And that got him a move to Benfica. And then he flip-flopped between quite a few Italian clubs. I mean, he was at Sampdoria, he was at Roma, who he took to the European Cup final back in 1990. And then Lazio is where he was when England moved for him. And he just won the league title, the Serie A title. Yeah, really well-regarded coach, known as a player's coach, good relationship with a lot of the stars of the time. I mean, Serie A was where the world stars went. And yeah, so he arrived and became England coach. And obviously, he was our first foreign coach.
Yeah, how did that go down, John?
Well, certain publications, shall we say, of the right-wing nature were not particularly keen on this. I remember a terrible pun. I think it was that you're an imposter. There were several jokes about him coming from Sweden and all this type of thing. But ultimately, you may well know this, but an English manager hasn't won the Premier League since 1992. So yeah. At this point, we were rather short of good managers. So we had to go for it.
Yeah. And when he came in, he took over from Kevin Keegan, of course. And when he came in, he had a few quick wins then that sort of settled the commentary about him not being English.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember his first win first game, actually, was a friendly against Spain back at Villa Park against a Spain team featuring Pep Guardiola when he was a player. So, you know, it's all connected in football in many ways, isn't it? And so we went from that point. And of course, he will be remembered for England's, his high point was England winning 5-1 in Munich back in 2001. And, you know, Michael Owen hat-trick. Just an unbelievable result if you're an Englishman, considering how often Germany have got the better of England. And then he had that very close relationship with David Beckham. Beckham was his captain throughout. Beckham scored that wonderful free kick against Greece. Off we went to the World Cup, and hopes were very, very high. Mm. But it didn't quite work out. That was the problem.
No, but he did. Like, I've read some of the reports since his sad passing about, you know, he didn't get enough out of the golden generation of players that he had. But he did get them to three big tournaments. He also got them to the quarterfinals of those tournaments. Yeah. So, you know, in a general sense, he didn't do too bad when you look at some of the other records.
Well, absolutely not. I mean, the problem with it being England's golden generation is that you were coming up against other golden generations. I mean, the team in 2002, in the heat of Japan, England lost to a Brazil team featuring Rivaldo, Ronaldinho and Ronaldo. I mean, that's three all-time great players. England, and at the time, he had injury problems. I mean, David Beckham went to that tournament with a broken foot. And he wasn't not the luckiest manager, actually, Sven, because the next two tournaments, England went out on penalties. Now, again, England's not great at penalties until very recently, actually. But he never found, I mean, he actually said this himself, he never really found that the English players were short of skill. It was more the mentality in those games that he never got to the bottom of. And let's face it, no one has since. I mean, Gareth Southgate's got close, but in those finals, it's not happened for England. There is a weakness, perhaps, in the English football mentality when it comes to those big moments that those other big nations might not have.
It's funny because from this remove, it doesn't seem like they have a weakness of confidence sometimes, and sometimes that may be a criticism of them. But back to Sven, you know, he didn't really have a problem with the football press over there. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about this side of it, but he definitely had a difficulty with the intrusion, as he would have called it, into his private life. And he was involved in some kind of sticky moments with the tabloid press, not just about his own personal life, but also I remember the fake shake sting that he was involved in.
Yeah, I mean, again, Sven is unfortunate in that he arrived in England at a time of, a tabloid war, and at the point when certain newspapers were, well, breaking the law to get stories, of which he was a victim of a phone tapping. Now, the thing is, when he was in Italy and Portugal, back in Sweden, you know, your private life is your private life. And you carry on as you wish, and that's the way it is. But the English press at the time was much more intrusive than he was perhaps used to. And let's just say, for a quiet man, an unassuming man, he had, well, quite an interesting private life.
Yes, yeah. He was active.
Yes. Well, you know, maybe he made sure to enjoy himself. And that's one of the things about Sven, was there was always that sparkle in his eye. You could tell that he made sure to enjoy himself, to enjoy life, that football was a lot of pressure, of course, but he made sure that the good times were good times. You know, he wasn't one to ruminate too heavily over these things.
No, he didn't take himself too seriously. Just reading a quote there from the last interview he did, he said, "I hope you'll remember me as a positive guy trying to do everything I could. Don't be sorry, smile. Thank you for everything, coaches, players and crowds. It's been fantastic. Take care of yourself and take care of your life and live it." How do you think, what's his legacy?
Well, it's funny that, isn't it? Because Sven Ulreich says one of those almost unique where he's got to see his own obituary before he actually died, which is interesting, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, his legacy is, okay, in football terms, very successful manager, highly regarded, became quite well-travelled by the end because success doesn't last forever. But you would suggest that, you know, he's a citizen of the world who enjoyed himself and gave a lot of joy to quite a lot of people. And in that very celebrity obsessed, you know, 2 decades ago, he fitted in quite well, really.
Yeah.
He was quite a character, quiet man, but a big personality at the same time.
Well, John, it's been a pleasure talking to you today, and thank you very much for taking the time to join us. That was John Brewin, a football journalist.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.